Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hey, party people. This is the Mystery Crate. It is a sandbox. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. Mystery is in its goddamn name.
I feel like we should have some eerie music behind this. Mystery. No?
Well, the music's already been designed. You can't hear it right now, but
It
sort of sounds like a Portishead influence.
Oh, it sounds good.
Yeah, you catch the Portishead notes?
What is Portishead?
You don't know what Portishead is?
No, I mean, it sounds like a type of meme.
No, it was they were well ahead of their time. It's not important. What's important is many of our show's fans have been clamoring ever since we started rolling out these original podcasts and bringing other established talents under our umbrella for a shipping container pod. Well, Mystery Crate is sort of designed to have all that stuff going on in it. We want to make everybody happy, and it's not just limited to us, the shipping container. It's other voices that you're familiar with. Sometimes Dan may have an interview on this podcast. Stu will do stuff for this podcast. Amino Hassan will have a big May the 4th blowout coming at you. Although, why am I ruining the mystery? I genuinely want you being surprised every week at what this is.
Greg Cody and Chris Cody might come at you with a You Never Know podcast.
Oh. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, Chris, because the first edition of You Never Know is going to be coming up here in just a minute. So explain what the concept is, because you're going to be doing something cool with your dad here on the Mystery Crate.
Yeah, basically it's just me and my dad doing whatever the hell we want, talking to interesting people, talking to ourselves about interesting things, and just being us. You know, if you love the Codys, the wackiness, the randomness, the sometimes not polishedness, then, you know, you're going to get, you never know, you might say, what you're going to get.
You never know. And I do like the theme music produced by One Juju Gotti. And now that reference, without any sort of background on it, may seem a little inside. But that's what sort of this podcast is. South Beach Sessions and Stupidity and the other podcasts on our network, they are sort of wider in scope.
If you found this, you know who Juju Gotti is. There's no chance that someone who does not know who Juju Gotti is listening to this. Like right now, we're going to be ranked 179th on like the top sports podcast. There's no chance someone found this and does not know who Juju Gotti is.
We are definitely going to crack the top 140.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the hope is.
Yeah.
And I really try to get the messaging out there to subscribe to the entire Levitard and Friends feed. That way, with one push of a button, subscribe. You get everything this network has to offer. Some of the stuff is going to be happy, funny, corny. Some of it's going to be really out there.
Some might be terrible.
Some might be terrible. Look, this is a proving ground for some of these bits. We may bring back some established classics like Exploring Blank. Some other benchmarks that you might be familiar with from the local hour. There are no rules here, is what I'm trying to say. Every week, it's going to be a different Sonic experience, and it's totally catered to the diehard Levitard and Stugatz fan, because that's who you are.
Is this the podcast? Or
if you're listening, you're on the Mystery Crate right now.
Is this episode zero?
Like it's it's a mystery to you guys.
Ooh. Is this an intro or this is a podcast?
This is the intro. Where we're establishing something that's hard to explain. Every time I try to explain it to you guys, I'm often met with blank faces. So I'm trying to do my best to describe what this concept is for the audience. Roy is going to be a part of it. You wouldn't know it in this opening segment. But Roy, what do you got cooking for the Mystery Crate?
I got things in a bag.
Okay. So
things cook in a bag?
It's in
a microwave. I guess it could be frozen and then it could be microwave.
Yeah. You can put it in a pot, put it on a stove.
Roy and I might talk some food.
Yep.
Got some ideas there.
The Mystery Crate. It's even a mystery to those producing it.
That's right.
All right. So coming up, the first edition of You Never Know.
Are we supposed to do a ZipRecruiter or something?
Oh, yeah. Me. God damn it.
That's going to be in the intro as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we'll keep this on. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I didn't prioritize that. Chris Cody. I'm always doing the reads because I'm super passionate about our sponsors. Can you try to do one of the reads here so we don't throw too much of my voice at them?
Oh, you guys, you know what? Tissot is the official watch of the NBA.
Yeah.
That's basically what I'm supposed to do.
They're the official watch of Levitard and Friends.
Okay. I'm going to do it again. So that's
okay.
How I should.
You want to take it from the top?
Yeah. Okay. Guys, Tissot is the official watch of not only the NBA, but it's the official watch of the Levitard Show Network, which includes the Mystery Crate.
It's Levitard and Friends.
What did I say?
You said Levitard Show Network.
Okay.
Okay. But it's all right. Keep going.
Yeah.
Power through.
Can I just do this? and then send it to you? Like, do I have to do this with the pressure of everyone looking at me?
No, just,
I'm not looking at you.
I could probably just do it, right?
Just feel like the more you talk, the worse it gets because this is all going to end up in there.
Yes.
Right.
It will.
Oh.
Like, this is not, you're not going to be edited and have this make you look good.
Just edit this part out.
No. I'm overworked. The incompetent part? I'm overworked and I literally do not have the time to chop this up.
Tiso. It is the official watch of the NBA and the Le Batard and Friends Network. Each one of Tissot's timepieces delivers a quality performance and traditional luxury. The Tissot Chrono XL is a great watch for those looking for a sporty chronograph with Swiss technology at an unbeatable price. While the Tissot PR100 family of watches brings together sporty and feminine details for a collection that is bold, romantic, and ideal for the modern woman. I want to do that again. While the Tissot PR family of watches brings together a sporty and feminine details for a collection that is bold, romantic, and ideal for the modern woman.
Well, that's going to say in there twice.
Shop Tissot at us.tissotshop.com and select watch. Shop Tissot at us.tissotshop.com and select watch and jewelry stores nationwide.
You know,
I said that wrong.
I think that's super, super endearing. Go ahead. Nail the dismount again.
I'm defeated.
No, come on, man. It's hard. You got a newfound respect for how much Sugats botches these, huh?
Shop Tissot at ustissotshop.com and at select watch and jewelry stores nationwide.
Okay. You'd like to think that now we get into the content.
You never know.
But that's not the case because you got the network sponsor in there. But you know we got to tell the folks about ZipRecruiter, Chris.
I love some Zip. Do I have that?
It was in the attachment.
Let me see. Scrolling it. Roy, why don't you Zip?
There you go.
I got to look at your phone now?
Yeah. Roy, kill this. Show them how it's done. One take, Roy.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/create.
That's how we get credit for any of this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/create. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But it don't stop there. No.
No, no, it doesn't?
No, it doesn't stop there.
Roy, can I tell you something? You're playing my favorite song right now. Keep going.
Oh, yes. I'm playing the guitar right now. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match.
You know, they could stop at 1,000. Resumes, but they don't.
No, they don't.
Because they scan thousands.
Thousands. More plural. Than 1,000.
Plural. That's what I love so much about ZipRecruiter.com/create. They go the extra mile. Some would argue that ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
It is. It absolutely is.
Does it say that there?
Yeah, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
It's definitely not the dumbest way to hire.
No.
No, it is.
But that's not really the tagline.
ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day.
How many out of 5?
4.
Wow.
That's higher than Christian Yelich's batting average.
Oh, my God. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/create.
Okay.
ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE.
Thank you guys for supporting us. We hope this thing lasts long. Judging by this intro, maybe not. But coming up, we have an interview with Valerie, Dan's wonderful fiance. A lot of our diehard fans want to get to know who this mysterious woman is that captivated Dan's heart and got him to go down on one knee, I'm sure panting as he did it, to ask for her hand in marriage. We get to know Valerie a little bit later on in the pod, but an original concept by the Codys is up next.
You never know.
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 You never know. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. You never know.
All right, now I want to get into something that has been a big talking point on the show for the last few months. Your health.
Oh.
How are you doing?
How are you feeling?
Well, let me just set up for the people that aren't aware. Greg has had a cough for what feels like a year, but I think it's closer to like 6 or 8 months in that range.
Yeah, it's been since last summer.
And that's pretty alarming. And for the first few months, it was just kind of a lingering cough. And then we kind of annoyed him about it because we were like, you got to get this thing checked out. And he did get it checked out. So kind of take us back to 3 or 4 months ago when you finally were like, all right, this thing is not just a lingering cough. I need to get it checked out.
This was last summer and late in the summer, I think. And I went a couple of times to my general practitioner, my basic doctor. And he couldn't really figure out what was causing the cough. He thought it was post-nasal drip related or what have you, and put me on medications and cough syrup and the usual stuff, and it just wouldn't go away. So at one point, I went back to him like a second or a third time and said, you got to do something here. I don't know what's up. And, you know, he prescribed a chest x-ray. And in that x-ray, they determined that I had a fairly large tumor that had been slowly growing in there for my surgeon later estimated years.
Which is really scary.
It's really scary. It was close to a fist-sized tumor that was below, in between my two lungs, but below the lungs, and pressed back up against my spine. And because it was back up against my spine, it was, you know, it was not minor surgery. You know, it was a full general anesthesia and several hours procedure, and I had it done, and they successfully removed the tumor.
Benign tumor.
Benign tumor, yes. Oh yeah. It was not cancerous. And that was the,
because I remember we were out to dinner and you kind of broke the news that they found a tumor and they were doing tests on it. So it was like a week waiting period where we were thinking, okay, this, hopefully it's benign, but this could be something really scary.
Oh yeah. It could have been.
I remember I was very scared.
I was, You know, that was the most scared I've ever been.
Right.
That day that your mom and I, you know, we were holding hands, which we don't do a lot.
You're in the office?
Yeah, as he gave us the decision.
Does he walk in, like, right away and just be like, it's not cancerous, just to, like, cut the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, he didn't...
Or does he do it like they do it in the movies where he makes you think, like, very somber, and he's like, Greg, look, I don't want to have to tell you this, but you're fine, you don't have cancer.
No.
He didn't do that.
He said almost right away, I have good news.
Okay.
You know, and... And
at that point, you guys stopped holding hands, you're like, all
right,
we're good.
Right, pretty much. But my general practitioner, who's the one who broke the news to me about the chest exam that determined the lump was there.
The news of that you have a tumor.
The news that I have a tumor. And
he doesn't know what it is.
Right, but he knew the size of it, and he knew that there was a good chance that it could be cancerous. And so my general practitioner, as he's giving us the results, your mom was there as well. He looks at me and puts his hand on my shoulder and says, we have to talk.
Oh, wow. That's scary.
I mean, it was scary. That was from the time I had the chest x-ray until I was through the surgery was harrowing.
Sorry.
It's emotional for me because I got so lucky that it was benign.
And so you got the news that it was benign, but you did still have to have a surgery.
Yep.
Because of where the tumor was located, it was a little bit of an in-depth surgery because of how fragile the area was where the tumor was.
Yes, it was. I was under general anesthesia. It was thoracic surgery, which is chest surgery. And, I've got a scar on, my lower left back that's, a good 6-7 inches long because they had to go, it was way back near my spine. So they had to go a ways to get the tumor. You worry about the surgery, but honestly, I was far more worried that the tumor was cancerous.
Right.
Once I found out it was benign, I was not as worried about the surgery. So it all worked out well.
So you had the surgery, you had the tumor removed, you healed, you got back to, feeling back to normal as far as like being able to get up, walk, all that stuff. So you're good there. Now, getting rid of the tumor doesn't seem to have fully gotten rid of the cough as perfect timing as you cough right now.
Yeah. Sorry.
So what's the modern day status of your health?
I don't believe the tumor had any, or the surgery had anything to do with the cough, which was there before and is still here now to a certain degree, although I think my metabolism is slowly but surely beating this thing. But I saw an ENT, ear, nose and throat specialist, and I'm going back to see him again, and he's going to see what's up. But I don't know. It could be just one of these things I have to live with, and it is much better than it was.
You're sleeping better?
I'm sleeping better. My general practitioner just thinks it's related to postnasal drip. And, you know, there's probably people listening who just sort of have a chronic cough of to some degree, and you know, as long as it doesn't interrupt your sleep, you can deal with it. But I tell you, it's your mother and I went to see Hamilton in the theater, and I happened to have my cough was really bad that night. I was just struggling to contain it, and here we are.
You didn't want to be that guy during the show.
Yeah, and here we are watching. It's a quiet, you know, a lot of Hamilton is quiet, even though there's a lot of singing and everything. Wonderful show, by the way, as good as everybody says it is. But that was a night where I was really struggling, and I left that theater. It obviously didn't ruin it for me. I still enjoyed the play, but it was really on my head that whole night. And I left that theater just very discouraged, thinking, I can't sleep at night. I have to leave my bedroom because I don't want to wake my wife. I'm fighting a cough all through Hamilton. I mean, I can't live like this. I left that theater.
That was like the low.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I did have thoughts that I just can't go on like this.
Right.
But it's better.
Thank you for crying. That's great for the podcast, by the way. Getting good emotion in there. You haven't had a lot of medical scares, right? So this was first experience with, holy crap,
I mean,
this life is fragile.
Major surgery to remove a tumor from near my spine. The most serious thing I'd ever had done previously was probably having a cavity removed.
Right.
A tooth filled, you know, and I'm serious about it. I'm not exaggerating.
Prostate exam.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of colonoscopies where that's not general anesthesia. They just give you, I think it's called twilight anesthesia, and sort of put you out. But that's not bad. That's routine surgery. What I had was not, and it was totally different. I remember my father had heart surgery at one time. You know, I remember sitting with my mom and dad. The surgery was really early. You have to be at the hospital by like 6 a.m. And so I remember sitting up with them at like 4 a.m., getting ready to drive them to the hospital in the darkness. And that was an emotional time, just the three of us.
All right, we're going to close that segment off.
Thank God.
We're going to end that segment with that cough.
With that cough, yeah.
Okay, this is a Mystery Crate concept, and it's really designed for some of the show's diehard fans. And I'm sure the diehard fans have a lot of questions about Dan's personal life. Dan is intriguing. He's been a career bachelor. He is
weird.
Weird. I was searching for the words, and Chris Cody just got right to it.
Seems like we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions. But we want to get to know. We are Dan's radio family. This is very odd for a show, for everybody to say in sort of their positions, have the same sort of hierarchy for this long. It's why the chemistry is top-notch. But it's also a very strange dynamic, and it's very, very much so a family. And Valerie is Dan's fiance, and she is now marrying into our family, and we have questions about the wedding.
Welcome, Valerie.
Tell us how you met Dan, because we're genuinely curious.
I met Dan at a restaurant, and he was sort of, it was his parents' 49th anniversary, and I was working at the restaurant at the time, and I guess he was sort of, he was hovering a little bit, I could tell.
Was he being a creeper?
No, I wouldn't say he was a creeper. And so I had been listening to his show for a while before that, and I did a lot of driving around in my job, in my prior job when I was in sales. I used to work for a newspaper, and so I listened to his show as I was driving around, your guys' show. So I just, as he was passing by and leaving, I said, "I like your radio show," and he turned around like kind of deer in headlights. And
yeah, that, a woman's voice said that.
Right. That's exactly what he said. Right. Like,
was that a woman's voice that said that?
It's like, I'm sorry, you're not talking about my TV show, right? I'm like, no, your radio show. So that's really it. And then
he clarified. That's
he, yeah, he did.
And then you just started asking him questions about Stugatz.
Yeah.
Of course.
I would hope.
So what does Stugatz do on the weekends?
Right.
Yep. What does he eat for breakfast? I needed to know.
So. I do embezzlement on weekends. So that's the combination of Dan hovering and you saying you like this. So he's hovering before he knows you like the radio show. And then you throw in that you like the radio show. And then I'm imagining he goes in for the kill, like right then and there.
Well,
how does Dan go in for the kill?
Oh,
was it love at first sight?
Dan didn't go for the kill immediately. He liked to sort of, you know, get ready. And he came back. He came back for me.
Playing hard to get.
Yeah.
Wait, but I do have a question here because he's hovering. Valerie is noticing that there's hovering going on. And then you throw a little. So you notice this. You're thinking this guy might like me. And you threw in that little, hey, like your radio show, which is a very cool move by you. So I'm thinking maybe you noticed the hovering and that was you hovering back a little bit, right? You were flirting.
Was I flirting?
I like the radio show to a guy who's already hovering. I mean.
I don't know. I Okay, maybe. A little bit.
Was he the only one that was at dinner with his parents for their anniversary? Like, he was the third wheel?
No, it was actually, I believe his brother was there as well.
You said he came back for you. Did he later that night or another night, he made a reservation and came looking for you, asking if you were around?
He came back. Apparently, he went on a cruise, and he had been thinking about me that whole time. And came back and asked for my number kind of awkwardly while people I worked with were staring at me.
Right.
It was great and uncomfortable as it needed to be.
So the people you worked with knew who he was as well.
Yeah, because his brother is always in that restaurant and so they knew him.
What was his texting game like at the beginning? Was he slick?
Hilarious. So funny. I sort of, so when he came back for me, he was leaving and I sort of like snuck up on him and tapped on his shoulder. And I didn't know that time that he was actually there for me, but he turned around like, you know, oh my God. Then, you know, the texting was all about what a ninja I am. So
flirting, totally flirting. I mean,
you mentioned Dan texting. How many unwanted group chats are you in he's bad at texting?
Yeah.
Like 3 or 4.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, that's low.
We all are.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty low.
Did the text come in at like just odd hours, all hours, any hour?
Seriously, does he ever sleep?
Yeah, he sleeps. I know. He's up a lot at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
We know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it like a dark room and he's just like pacing back and forth texting?
He usually leaves the room so he doesn't disturb me.
Can we do something about this? Like, can you make it stop, I guess?
Please? Possibly hide his phone.
I really wish I could. Like, I'm going to give him a sedative.
When he goes to the other room to not disturb you, does he then text you from that other room?
Not accidentally.
In a group chat.
He's always sending me things from Twitter at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Who was it? Really?
What? Yes.
What?
Who was in charge? Because he had this thing where he would text you from his iPhone, but also his iPad. It was
help. Yeah. We had to fix that situation. I was part of the fixing of that.
Thank you.
It was terrible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you lived in South Florida your entire life?
Yeah, I'm from here, born and raised. My parents were born here as well in Miami.
What's the best thing Dan cooks?
Dan doesn't cook.
He knew the answer.
Okay. All right.
Do you cook?
I do.
Okay. What's the favorite meal of Dan's that you cook?
Of Dan's, Dan, I don't really eat chicken or anything like meat based, but I do cook for him because I used to. So I know how to make all the things he likes. But Dan is on a very strict sort of like vegetable and lean protein diet. So it's weird because
he shovels French fries down his mouth
He puts fries in his salad.
Weird.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Or do we just? Oh, I mean, no. He's a picture
some
of health.
Angled excuse about the salad doesn't give him enough carbs,
someone
so he throws
else does.
A couple
someone,
of fries
in the building
that's
does.
Actually,
that.
Yeah.
It's Arnaldo. Arnaldo.
Yeah, it's not Dan. It's not Dan. So, what was your first date like?
Oh my God. Okay.
Well, how
weird
long
transition?
How long was the first date after you met him at the restaurant? How long before you guys went out on a date?
Oh, well, we actually went out on a date. I was working at this restaurant and there was a bird. It was pouring rain and there was a bird apparently with an injured wing. So I went outside and I sort of like trapped the bird in a box till I could get off work. And I took it to the Seabird station and Dan was trying to hang out with me that night. So I was like, okay, I got to go drop this bird off but then I will come and meet you. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning or something.
It's a heady play.
Yeah. So, but I did go meet him and it
and
was
he
fun.
Took you to Paris.
We went to a bar.
Oh.
Really? Paris was the next day.
Yeah, Paris. Paris. What's your favorite date you've ever been on with Dan?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, we've been to Africa, so I'd say.
Well, we'll get into Africa in a little bit.
Okay. Date? I don't know.
He didn't, like, rent out an entire movie theater for you guys?
No, but we've been on a lot of cool vacations and, you know, like, music festivals and stuff. So that's the type of date I like.
Yeah, you've gotten Dan out to music festivals. I mean, I know his brother used to do Langerado, but that's really the only music festival. What do you think you've changed about Dan outside of his ability to love?
Aww, it's true, though.
Why are you laughing? He said this much.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely correct.
As he was eating French fries.
Yes.
In a salad.
That wasn't his.
Does he think they're croutons? Like,
what have you changed most for Dan outside of his ability to love?
Dan is not, like, he's a creature of comfort, and so he doesn't really like going into environments that are going to be uncomfortable or small or dirty. And so one of the music festivals we go to is, it's called Halloween. And we stay in one of the cabins there, and it's really the best possible scenario if you're at this festival. It's pretty nice. Like, people are staying in tents and no tents. So it's kind of a dirty-ish situation. And yeah, he's a little bit of a diva in that way.
I've noticed change. You guys have not noticed how much Dan has changed since he met Valerie? Because he's more into music, for starters. I don't know if that's your influence on him. He's a lot more relaxed and calmer than he used to be. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like, you've had a very good, you've had a very good calming effect on him. Yes.
Yes.
We're saying we like him more since he met you, is what we're saying.
Yeah. That's so nice, you guys.
No, I mean, we've all noticed it. It's impossible.
No, you've certainly been a calming influence. Yay. He's sort of had this metaphysical transformation.
Yeah, I would say that he is a lot more connected now.
Meta what? World peace?
What's Stan's most annoying habit?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, man, you phrase it. Like, you cut right to it. Maybe pet peeve is a nicer way to do it.
Dan, do you want me to give you the little one? Pet peeve, I guess, would be his...
Wait, were you going to actually answer the other one?
He bites his nails, so that's little bit... Right. I don't want him to do it because it's unhealthy.
You call him out on it?
Yeah.
Why is it unhealthy? Like, what makes it... I'm nervous because I bite my nails.
I do, too. Am I a hypochondriac. Get something now? Like, what's happening? Yes. Should I go to a doctor?
It's not, I mean...
Oh, because all
so
the germs
bacteria
and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's you guys are gross.
My nails are healthier than half the stuff that I eat anyways.
Good point.
I've noticed Dan stopped smoking cigars. That was sort of word association, Dan Le Batard cigars.
Yeah.
Is that your influence?
Probably.
I mean, you don't want him biting his nails. I can imagine you don't want him smoking tobacco.
Yeah, he took a look at it after I was like, I don't think that's so good for you. And I kind of want you around, you know, but he made that decision on his own.
So he realized tobacco wasn't good for him because you said so.
That's right.
Did you back it up with data or anything? Or just like, you just... Seems like common knowledge. Because he's all about facts and data. But you appear like you would come with like knowledge on the situation.
Let's see exactly how much Dan's changed. So have you ever invited Dan out to a place? Because we've all run into this. And then his entire family comes.
Oh, yeah. I would say in the beginning of our relationship, it was a lot more like that. Yeah.
How many of your first dates were they on? Like your first date.
They weren't on our date.
Bobby was there.
But on our non-dates, they were always there. Yeah. And
did he tell you they were going to be there?
No.
No.
Were they there when you dropped off the bird?
No, they weren't.
So how long have you guys been dating?
We've been together for like, oh my God, like 2 years, I guess.
Wow. So you're engaged now?
Yes, we are.
He's mentioned on the air that he proposed to you in Africa. What details can you give us? You can keep whatever about this private and just for yourselves as you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like a pretty romantic trip to Africa.
Oh, it was so romantic. So we had gone on a safari all day. Dan was pretty exhausted. And we were kind of getting ready to go back to the room. He had set something up with the guys that were, you know, working there to set up like a picnic so that he could propose. But he didn't know when that was. they were like, okay, are you ready? And they kept like suggesting like, okay, well, we're going to go do this. And Dan was like, oh, are we going to do this? And I was like, do what? And
so it's kind of odd that Dan's putting off a picnic.
He was putting it off. He was too tired. He wanted to go back to the room, but we did it. We went, and it's apparently like an out of Africa scene spot. So it was just gorgeous.
So what's the vista like? What are you looking at?
Just the most vast landscape you can imagine. It just looks like it goes on forever. And you're seeing giraffes and zebras and elephants right below you. It's incredible. So Dan was kind of shifting around uncomfortably. We were sitting on a rock. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are you like, you know, I'm looking at him like, why is he so damn uncomfortable? And I guess it's because he had the ring in his back pocket.
Of course. Surprised he remembered it. Didn't lose it or.
I'm really surprised Allison wasn't there. Now. Usually, like, yeah. Walked in the ring. Was she there?
Allison got down on one knee.
We didn't have any Wi-Fi, so otherwise she would have been on FaceTime.
When you got back to the room afterwards, were his parents there? Or?
Yeah, they jumped out from behind the bed. Surprise.
All right, so how did he actually pop pop the question, if you want to reveal that? He's moving around awkwardly, and Dan's just usually he's kind of socially awkward, but this is not a social experience. He's being awkward around you, so you're thinking something's up.
Wait, but wait, Michael, yeah. 1 second. Did you know, like, when you're experiencing this and Dan's uncomfortable, did you have an idea of what was about to happen? I mean, Africa, safari, beautiful spot, like you had to have.
Yeah. Have you ever mentioned, like, I'd really love to get engaged in Africa?
I never mentioned that, but our, I forgot to mention this. Our first real date was at the zoo, and that was like one of the best days of my life because nice. Ron McGill took us on this like backstage tour. It was awesome.
That's a boss move, my man.
There was nobody else at the zoo that day, was there?
No. Yeah, of course. They didn't close it down for us.
They would have, though.
And just close down the sections as you approach them.
They did close it down. He just didn't tell you, and they brought in a bunch of extras. So you feel like it was a normal day at the zoo when it really wasn't.
Yeah, my cousin Armand was there, part of the Cassett audience.
Good pay. It was like $100 a day.
Yeah, scale.
Wait, so there's a connection here. So you go to the zoo, first date. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
And then you realize you're in Africa on a safari. And
things are starting to line
he's
up.
He's tired. Right? Normally he'd go to the room, but now he's doing this picnic thing. So you had to have some, right?
Totally. So that was the connection. That's why he needed to do it around animals. And, you know, that was special to me.
Very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
So how excited are you calling the family, the whole deal? And then how soon do you start getting into wedding planning? And what is the status of the wedding planning? Because Greg Cody hasn't reported this yet. Ooh, I have Greg Cody questions.
Oh, yeah. Oh God.
That's what I was laughing.
Okay. So you're excited, but you guys were a little secretive about the announcement because Dan's a celebrity, and for whatever reason, they do that. So we find out, the world finds out, through a Greg Cody column. Did your family find out this way? Because Dan, I remember that day, and Dan was legit mad at Greg. And part of the reason, largely, was Valerie wanted to tell certain people certain ways, and now they're finding out through a Greg Cody column.
No, our families knew about it, but it wasn't something that Dan wanted shouted at the mountaintops. So,
why do you think that is? Do you think he was ashamed? Or...
You're such an asshole.
I hope he wasn't ashamed.
But it was a good question.
That hurts.
He's very private. We all know.
He's a super private guy. But I'm sure there were like acquaintances and friends in your circle that were like, whoa, what is this, Valerie?
Right. Yeah. Did anyone find out from the Cody article? Did anyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they called you?
Yeah. Like I had text messages with a picture of my face in the paper.
I found out from the Cody article. I was the last one to know on this show, was I not?
No, there were certain people on the show.
I think you might have been.
Didn't know?
I wouldn't tell me if I were him.
Did you know before it happened or no?
No, I didn't. Actually, no, I did not. Now that I think about it, I did not. I knew they were going to Africa. I didn't know that they were getting engaged in Africa.
You'd seen Allison running around, like, trying to get things together on a phone.
I just had a normal day for her.
So he told us, some of us, like, separately, like, awkwardly, surprisingly enough, because it was, like, a week that he was on vacation. It was, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I guess, before you guys left. And he was off the air, but he was hanging out in the studio for whatever reason. I don't even know what he was doing, but he'd be here. And then he'd say things like, you know, I'm gonna... And then at some point he just dropped, oh, I'm getting engaged. Bye, guys. See you later.
I think he, like, told Dominique down the line, and we were all in here, and he said it to Dominique down the line, and we're all like, oh, I guess Dan's getting engaged.
When he told me, he said, I'm coming back from Africa more, or he said, I'm coming back from Africa engaged. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, he's going to be involved. Like, he needs a vacation. This is going to be great for him. He's going to be in on all of this. This is awesome. And then, like, afterwards, I realized, oh, no, he's actually getting engaged, like, for marriage, not, like, in the show.
Totally overshadowing your engagement announcement.
Yeah.
As
usual.
Well, that's the thing.
Did he overshadow yours?
He didn't overshadow it because it didn't come out until a lot later, but I remember thinking, like, man, I can't believe this. Like, I've been planning on getting engaged. Now Dan's getting engaged, and it's going to be a cooler story than mine, and the ring's going to be bigger than mine, and, like... Why does he always have to do this to me?
You're the only reason he wanted to get engaged, by the way. He was like, well, Billy is.
So wedding planning, how's that going?
It's good. Yeah. It's good. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah? Do you guys have a date? Is Sugats invited?
It's going to be in October-ish.
Oh, wow. Oh, news here on Mystery Date.
October-ish.
She didn't say the year.
See who the Jets play that way.
Do you like sports, or does this drive you crazy? He doesn't do a lot of sports watching, does he?
No, Dan is pretty moderate. I don't know. I'm not a huge sports person.
Yeah. So you give him balance, kind of.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's not annoying that he's like watching. Oh, I'm talking about who this team's going to draft.
I mean, Dan doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that because he doesn't really care who wins. So
he reads more than he watches TV, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Right? Reads too much.
What's with this new Game of Thrones obsession of his?
It's weird.
He seems to really be into it, but not into it enough to watch it, but he wants to constantly talk about it, which is kind of odd.
I don't know if it's because everybody's like watching it that he's like he wants to talk about something that everybody likes.
What's the weirdest show that he likes?
The weirdest show? Oh my God. The weirdest show that we both like is... Mike Ryan, what is that?
Succession?
Patricia Arquette show.
Oh, I love that show. Hold on.
Medium. Aired on NBC 2005 to 2011.
No,
it's a new one, Mike.
Yeah, I know. The Act?
The Act, yeah. So it's a true story. She's just incredible.
And I was hoping for something like Flip or Flop. Yeah. You know, like something embarrassing.
You guys
like,
House Hunters?
Network or something.
House Hunters?
Yeah. House Hunters. No.
House Hunters International?
No, never seen it.
You've never seen House Hunters?
Say Yes to the Dress. None of this?
Are you doing Say Yes to the Dress?
Dan watches a lot of Say Yes to the Dress.
Yeah, Disney weddings. Have you guys seen that one? There's like a Disney show that's just about like princess weddings on Disney.
Does Dan know what he's wearing yet for the wedding?
No.
Did he get his fanciest basketball shorts out yet or no?
Dan says you buy his clothes.
I do, yeah. I mean, that's why he's wearing pants now.
I was going to ask that because I imagine before his closet was seriously just basketball shorts hanging, which I'm super jealous of. Like if that could be my life where I just live my life in t-shirts and basketball shorts and hats, like that's the dream.
He was headed towards that dream until he met Valerie. Do you not understand?
Yeah.
And thank God he did because it was.
And the shorts are folded and hidden somewhere.
How involved is he in the wedding planning?
Dan's pretty involved.
Nice.
He's pretty good. He kind of helps me decide on stuff.
I heard him reveal on the Sarah Spain podcast that you wanted a wedding in Hawaii.
Yeah, but I can't divulge right
now.
No.
You don't have to.
Okay.
No. But that was like, she asked him like, what was one of the difficulties going on? And he's like, Valerie wants to do this wedding in Hawaii. And I don't know if you know this, but it's very far.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
It's very, very far.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know this. We're not getting invited to this wedding.
Well, there's that. We don't have to worry about it.
Do you think any of us are going to be invited to the wedding?
No.
Any of us.
I might be an usher, actually.
Doing a super tiny, tiny wedding.
So that's a no.
Right. Yeah, okay, that's so a no.
I'm really good at getting the dance floor going, though.
And thank you, by the way. Appreciate it.
No, but we're going to have a huge party that everybody's invited to. So.
Oh, yeah. I got a lacrosse mitzvah then. Do you think Cody's going to be invited, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll be invited.
He'll be part of the main stage. You're talking like the main gig, right?
No.
Oh,
no, I'm talking about
Cody's
like
big party
small.
Guy.
I'm talking about family small. Like, okay. It's only going to be family. Yeah.
Really?
That tiny.
But we started this by saying
we're
family.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is awkward. Yeah.
Radio family.
Yeah. Extended family.
I'm sad. Just like more radio like family.
Rambling.
Co-workers.
No co-workers. We're for the big party.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
We're the big party is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a Moss Miami event?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. Yeah.
It is going to be a Moss Miami.
Can we get the pre-sale?
Wait, so do we have to get you guys? I mean, we're not technically invited.
Look at Sugata.
How does the gift part work? I gave Dan a buyout to my daughter's bat mitzvah, and he took that option. Meaning, I said, Dan, you don't have to come. Just give double of what you would have normally given had you come. And so he did. I mean, he took care of them. Their college is paid for. Let's put it that way. And so what I'm asking you is, do I have to give you a gift even now knowing that I'm not invited? Do I? Because the big party is not going to fly for me. If you want a gift from me, I feel like I have to be invited to the main stage.
This is awkward.
I totally agree with that, by the way.
Thank you.
Would not.
I just got us out of gifts.
I would not want gifts from people who... Yeah, and yeah, no, that's totally fine. 100% off the hook.
What can we get Dan anyways?
Yeah.
Are we all going to chip in for like an island?
Right.
This is a thing. Every Christmas and every birthday, we can't figure out what to get Dan because he has everything, one. And what do we get him? Like, what does he like? He doesn't seem to like that many things. Like last time we settled on luggage, which didn't seem like...
It was perfect. We used that luggage. It was great.
All right,
that
so that one worked.
Great gift.
All right, so what should we get next year?
That was an ordeal with Allison, by the way.
Yeah.
That was
awful. She's so good. Unbelievable. She took such good care of that.
Mm. And she was bad-mouthing me, saying that I was trying to buy stuff on Groupon, which is not what happened. I'd like to clear the record right now on that. I did not say that we should buy Dan's birthday present from Groupon because she was going around telling everybody that.
Yeah, she told me that.
Yeah, you see? That's what I'm saying.
She said it was
the record's been cleared.
So what should we do for next year?
Everybody's always asking me what to buy Dan, and I have honestly no idea. I have to do something sentimental because there is nothing I can buy Dan that is going to make him happy. So write him a card.
I did that one year, and then I found the card just in the envelope like 2 weeks later at the desk, and then I was like, this is embarrassing. Like, I was nice here, so I just ripped it up and threw it away.
No.
But Stugatz did the same thing to me, so I threw up two cards.
He's got a lot of bad blood in here.
Thanks for mentoring me. Thanks for taking me under the wing. And there it was.
Sorry to hear that, Billy.
Welcome to our family, Valerie.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time out to join us.
Yes. Excited for the big party.
Thank you.
I don't have to go to or buy a gift. Worked out swimmingly for me.